guys, what's up? Welcome back to The Ice Project, or aka Soundboard. Got my friend Jade Spooner in here, and today we are talking about the ups and downs of entrepreneurship. So, Lukey, roll the intro. We got no headphones on, so we can't really hear.
It's just DJ.
Good. Hey, Jay, what's up?
What's up?
New studio, had like the vibe?
I know, I love it. It's so good. It's just such a, yeah, it's such a vibe.
Vibey.
I'm digging the round table as well.
A lot more intimate.
It is intimate. It's not that we need intimacy between us two. We are just platonic friends.
All right, every Q&A that we get the question, are we dating?
No, I got hammered last night and people actually got angry. There was a couple of little YKTR fanboys that were like, can you just come out and be truthful already? I'm like, I'm not dating the guy. We're literally just friends. Anyway, I said it once, I'll say it again. I support you, you support me, and we're just...
Yeah, I don't think people are cutting it, eh? But we can honestly say nothing's really happening. No. So there's a few YKTR people that do follow me that she's showing me the messages of. So I know the boys...
So we're on tier.
Yeah, the boys are trying to slide in on there. So a bit of a giggle. So the ups and downs of entrepreneurship, first of all...
We love this.
We love entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
Do you feel like everyone can be an entrepreneur?
I feel like everyone can be an entrepreneur, but I feel like there are better entrepreneurs than others.
Yeah.
I think ultimately, like, you know, anyone can groom themselves to do anything, but I think there's some people that are inherently born with the thing. You know what I mean?
How do you know that you got the thing?
I don't know. It's really funny. I met a special someone a couple of years back, and I've kind of not really met many people like on this level before. And he said to me, he's like, I don't know what it is, but like, I've got the thing and like, you've got the thing.
Yeah.
And it's true. It's like, you can kind of see it in other people. And I think as you get further into your business journey, you kind of start attracting more of those types of people. It's kind of like a left of field thinking. It's a little bit of, some people call it arrogance. But I think you need to have a bit of...
Is it like blind optimism?
A little bit of confidence in yourself. You got to back yourself. So like, I would say like, as a female, I have like my own like, you know, body image struggles and all that kind of stuff that most girls go through. But I would say like, for the most part, on an academic front and on a business front, like I back myself, and that's different to any sort of like physical confidence.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
So like this, when I say entrepreneurship, it sounds kind of sexy because it's kind of the cool thing
sounds
right
hot,
now.
Yeah.
But then when you say business owner, it doesn't really have that like sort of sparkle in and around it. And I don't feel like a lot of people could actually run a business. And we're not trying to sit here trying to be all high and mighty, go like, look at us and you guys can't do this. But
because people are out there working really well for someone on a 9-to-5 basis and I couldn't do that, I'd be the employee of doom.
I'd get fired. So I did write a quote. There's two types of people. I wrote this as a tweet a while ago. There's two types of people, one that love a safety net and the other that find it claustrophobic.
Yeah.
Do you find that to be true?
I think there's merit in it, but I think in terms of like a safety net, I wouldn't look at working for someone versus having your own business as like safety versus like, you know, high.
There is comfort in a salary though.
There is comfort in a salary, but there's also like, if you can take off, being a business owner is quite comfortable as well. And like, whilst, you know, a lot of people might, you know, slog it out in a, like a 9-to-5 job, there's some stages of a business journey where you've got like a lot more freedom. So I think every person has their own struggles throughout their career path, which are worth acknowledging. But I do think that there's a lot of risk that is involved in entrepreneurship, and I think that's where the safety versus no high risk thing comes into play.
So that's a good little segue into the first topic you brought up as we were talking last night, time.
Yeah.
Do you want to touch on time?
Yeah. So I think one quote that I love is, the day you plant the seed is not the day you eat the fruit.
Great quote.
And I think if you're going into a business venture or something like that, you need to understand you're not going to make a quick buck, most likely overnight. And even some of those businesses, right? So there's been, you know, amazing business stories where, say, like Kim Kardashian will post something and then the company will just sell out overnight.
Yeah, I remember that.
But even so, like if those sort of circumstances on the one-off basis do happen, you either have to have a going forth strategy, or else you're just going to be an overnight quick money and then it will just die out and it will be like merely a fad.
And a lot of times, if they don't have the infrastructure behind it to support that sort of type of marketing, it fucking falls underneath them anyway. Yeah. So 100. Yeah, it's a little bit dangerous. I find the thing with time is like, if you think of a graph as like how much time you put in versus how much money you make, like you put a lot of time in without any money, then there's that kind of little bit of a crossover, and then it becomes to a part where like, you spend less time working in the business and you're more on the business, but you actually make more money. So,
yeah. And I think
it's like a couple of years, I feel like.
I feel so.
Minimum.
Too. Like, what are you, year three now?
Four.
You're year four, I'm year seven. So, a lot of people look at our journeys on the outside and say, like, oh, you guys are killing it and all that, and you've got so much momentum and whatnot. correct at this moment, but that there is so many years like sort of behind that. I know, literally
crying.
So many years behind it. And also I think as a business owner, you get a lot better and more effective at doing your job along the way. So the more time you invest in the business and the more consistent you are in your day-to-day business practices, also the better and more knowledgeable you get as a business owner. So you kind of get, I guess it kind of multiplies in terms of like not only effect, but also your effectiveness too.
Oh, of course. So you talked about stamina in here.
Yeah, stamina. It's
important,
like,
isn't it?
It's your fuel in the tank because it's really exhausting.
How many times have you thought about quitting?
Never. No, really.
Not once? Yeah.
No, like I think I've entertained things like, oh, you know, maybe I'll exit or maybe I'll sell or maybe I'll do – but actually actioning it is a completely different story. Like emotionally you always have – I'm an emotional – you know I'm an emotional person.
Yeah.
But I have emotional thoughts like any – normal human, but actually going forth and saying I am going to quit and this is what I'm going to do about it, it's never happened once.
Yeah, it's happened to me sort of two times. I'm like, fuck this. I think, oh, not so much quit. I think we were just almost done more than anything.
Because yeah, resource runs
low. Yeah. Resources like money, like pretty much one of the main ones. But then I remember sitting there after half an hour, I remember thinking like, I'm going to just have to get a normal job. And that made me feel more sick than failing. So that was sort of my turning point. I'm like, fuck this. I'm going to sort of zone in and focus. But, man, it was a scary time. And that stamina is important.
It is. And I think with people, it comes to a head through two circumstances. The first one is obviously if you run out of capital. Like, you can only be doing what you're doing for so long without money, you know. Like, unless you've got a really good support system in the form of, like, you know, investors or a
family,
and stuff like that.
Savings is important.
You can be really snookered if you do run out of coin, especially if you've got a company that requires overhead. So, like, for example, you guys have inventory. I was an online business, so we could have probably kept going a little bit longer without money if need be. And the second thing to that as well is just like the disheartenment of, say, you know, people are not believing in what you're offering as much as what you believe in it. And if you A, don't have customers that are supporting it, and B, you have a little bit of self-doubt as to whether it's actually going to work, I think they're the two fall shorts.
A lot of people ask the question is like, how do you know when to keep going and when to sort of
quit.
I don't want to say quit, but like your business
liquidate,
idea is not
go into administration.
No, your business idea is not valid enough. Is there
Like a formula sort of thing? Is there a way to like gauge that? I think it strips right back to starting the business. You need to validate before you go in. So I think the people that sort of fail in the midst are probably the people that haven't done the validation strategies early on. So I think if you've got like, you know, proof of concept in terms of like you have people that actually want what you're offering and bringing to the table in the form of like, you know, you might have subscribers or you might have your early adopters or your early birds or something like that.
And even as small as followers, eh?
Yes, people, supporters. You've got someone behind you. You've got people behind you that are willing to put money in, A, your belief, and B, like whatever you're offering. If you have that early on and then you go forth with the business, if you kind of tick the boxes of like, you know, marketing and like all that kind of stuff, you're not as likely to fail as if you weren't doing any of that research to begin with.
Agree, 100% agree. We talked about personal. This kind of we touched on this. It is a little bit lonely, but this is not like a sympathy thing. It's more so like
– no.
I don't know. Do you want to I'm thinking of how to explain it, but it's kind of hard.
Yeah, it is. So we were talking about this last night because
it's not like we've got no friends or anything.
But I think your close network gets a lot tighter when you sort of have your own business, because as a person, I think like it's a hard thing to admit, but you're quite difficult to deal with, whether you realize it or not. Like I even remember back in the day when, you know, I had a business and I was also a girlfriend at the same time. And it required a lot of – my business needed me as much as my relationship needed me, and I don't think I balanced that act very well. So I think, like, as a person, like, getting into, like a relationship with a business owner, it can be, like, quite challenging. And same with, like, sustaining a friendship and being a family member when you also have a business. Like, the amount of times I've missed out on things has been, like, countless, and, like, you really need an understanding and supportive, like, other head to the coin where – you've got people that like really get you to be gotten, you know what I mean?
And I think it gets harder like the more, because I had a relationship that didn't work out, and one of the questions she asked me when we broke up, she goes, do you reckon it would have worked if I was a more successful business person?
Oh, my heart.
Yeah, I was going, nah, like I want the complete opposite of that. I just want something like nice and stable.
Yeah, it can definitely like bring up insecurities in others as well as yourself, because you're like, why can I do business so well, but then I can't do this other side of life so well? And then the other person's thinking, fuck, they're doing so well. Why am I not doing that? And
it's just true.
It's like a little bit of like this weird trade-off. But you know what? The right people come into your life throughout the journey and complement it, and they're the people that you want to keep around. You know, like we, like you and I, for example, we have a super effortless friendship and it's like quite complimentary. Like I'm there for you, you're there for me. And like more of those relationships come into play on a similar basis when you do, like, it's not even really just about having a business, but when you do have a business, you evolve into like a type of person, and then you attract more of those types of people.
You said something 2 weeks ago that's really like I've thought about a lot, and something I'm actually going to implement. So
it's a drug.
It was actually on this podcast, and sort of talked about the point where separating friendships from actual business.
Yeah,
and I want to like actually proceed and do that. Obviously Chico and Normie a little bit different, but say like Scope and Simi, they're going to be working underneath. Like I don't think I'll hang around them as much on a social aspect as much as I normally would.
You still love your boys.
Yeah, still love, like obviously still love the boys, and and like if we, I'll be the first one to throw staff parties, I'm the first one to dig into beers and sort of stuff like that and lead the charge like that. But I do want that kind of clear line between like, all right, you're working here. Like,
yeah.
And I don't think I really have that, especially with Simi right now, because we're more friends than like working. 100%. So like if I bring something up on work, he'll flip it back to like a more so like a friendship style thing. So yeah, I'm going to actually take that on.
And this comes also back to just when, you know, you endeavor into like a owning a business or you are an entrepreneur, those people get it. Like and that's why they're on the journey with you. So in any capacity, like if it's right for you, it will be right for them as well. Like, you know, what you are, it's in terms of like you as a person and then you as a business owner, as much as they're separate, like your business is a very big part of who you are.
Oh, of course.
And so I feel like in accepting you for you, that's sort of something that people take on as well.
Yeah. And like I sort of like people like go, what do you do when you get out of business? I'm like, I'm actually just trying to get a bunch of little close mates just outside that have got nothing to do. Obviously hang out with you like a little bit, and the Flay's about in Bondi. Yeah. We just go out and eat and talk shit and she talks about music and stuff like that. It's just nice to get a little breakaway, isn't it?
Yeah, and I've been really lucky, like in my entire business journey, I've had, like I've said this on podcasts before, I've had the same girlfriend since I was like a kid.
Yeah.
And I've got different groups of friends in my life, which I'm super lucky to have, but I'm not one to churn through friends. Like I have the same girlfriends for years.
Yeah, I'm exactly the same as you, yeah.
And that keeps you really grounded, and it's really nice to just go out, and this is important in sustaining like that entrepreneur kind of like healthy balance, is like you get to go out and you get to be Jade. You don't have to be Jade from Ecolution and you don't have to sit there and talk about your business all the time. And I mean, people are naturally going to be really interested. It's sexy. It's exciting.
Yep.
I saw you in this. I saw you guys are doing this. Oh God, I love that post. I love this, whatever. And that's all well and good. But like for the most part, it's really important that you retain like your persona that isn't just like you as a business owner.
Yeah. And like Fridays are like my little thing, obviously. You know that. So like Zane obviously models for us, but we talk like crypto and random shit.
Yeah.
So it's important to find that balance. But we said it's lonely, but why it's lonely, you need to develop that time for yourself to fill your own cup up. And you do it for exercise, and I'm doing it for exercise at the moment.
Yeah.
And
we have pretty similar routines.
Yeah, we do. I've got a weird wake up time at the moment. It's like, I know, 3 a.m.
I'm about an hour and a bit behind you. Like once you're in the threes, I'm like, nah, you've lost me there. I'm still snoozing.
And someone asked me the question like, oh, what's your time for running? I'm like, nah, I'm also trying to solve like the problems. Because once you do get to work, it's just like you're trying to solve everyone else's problems.
So you keep dodging that. Everyone's asking you, how quick do you run 10Ks?
You're like, everyone's like, oh, you just say it, you're slow. My friend loves you to say it, you're slow. But I pump most of yours anyway. But like I don't actually time it. It's just more like a mental thing.
I know. And I think like, you know, under that personal category when you're talking entrepreneurship, I think it's really important to identify those things that keep you happy and sane as a person. Like I've just taken up golf like in the last sort of 6 months.
You hit him all right?
I'm all right. I'm a mixed bag. I'm a real mixed bag. But
What's your reaction after you shank one?
Oh, I never shank them.
Fuck, no, flip it.
I was going to say I'm a straight shooter. I can't say that, can I? I'm pretty accurate. It's just more like for me, it's like a distance thing. I'm like, oh God, just did not go the length then.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I've taken up golf. My family is like cornerstone in my life. Always have been, always will be. But I definitely did, even with them, go through a stage where I was a bit neglectful, being a business owner. You go through a stage too. And I think this is, I did note this off to you last night in terms of just like, kind of being quite honest and harsh with yourself when you start to lose yourself a little bit. But I went through a stage and like, not proud to say it, but like I went through a stage where like I got a little bit on my high horse a little bit with the business. I'm like, well, I'm not going to this because, you know, I run a business and I've got to work tonight. When in actual fact, I probably should have like started at the crack of dawn. I usually was, but I could have pushed a little bit harder just to make it in some capacity. You know what I mean? Like you get tired, you get selfish. And I think it's really important to like pull yourself up on that and say, you know what, just as much as what you're doing is important, so is what you're missing out on too.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true. Because you missed a big part of your 20s, eh?
Missed so much of my 20s.
Do you regret that or?
I will never say that I regret much.
Yeah.
But I definitely look at what I have now and I'm saddened by the fact that I could have had so many more years of that. You know, like for example, like my pop's got a really aggressive form of cancer at the moment. So like as a family, we're kind of like banding together and we're just doing like really fun things as a family. Like we went away to Bowral over the weekend. We had my cousin's wedding. We played golf together and all that kind of stuff. And every moment I have is like, I kind of like have a, you know, just like a bit of a snapshot moment in my mind. And I think like, fuck, I could have had so many more years of this.
Yeah.
If I was a bit more diligent with my, just my dedication to other things that were not work related. In saying that though, I really think that the people that make it have done something really drastic usually to get to where they are. And I look back on some of those like really dark days and I think the way that like things have panned out now is a real testament to what was done in those days.
Yeah, of course.
So it's a trade-off.
And like I'm probably in that little phase right now where like I'll go like I eat dinner on my own like most nights.
Yeah.
Like I'm up at like 3:30 in the morning. So I spend that first 3 hours on my own. I come here. Like it's a vibe. Like always around the boys. And obviously you come down here and it's a bit of fun. And but you still feel like a little bit lonely sometimes.
Yeah,
but you're comfortable in that solitude. And that's probably the way to frame it.
Being alone and being lonely, I think are like
two different things.
And
lonely sounds depressing.
Lonely does sound a bit grim. And there's probably times where you think like a companion of some sort would be like grass.
Dog.
and in those times you get yourself a dog.
Dog, yeah.
But there's little ways to like fill that void without kind of like putting a band-aid on something. But ultimately you do kind of need to be comfortable like with yourself if you're going to make it work. And having business partners is also a great cue for that as well, because without a mole, like her and I always testament where we are today through just being on the journey together.
Yeah. And it's like it's funny that you brought that up, because like say the boys go, oh, let's go to dinner, and they say 8 o'clock, I'm like, oh fuck that, I'm in bed by like 7:30. And if I go like dinner at 8, I'll get back at 10, 11, I'm probably gonna get 3 hours sleep, I'll be up at 3.
Okay,
so I'm kind of in that little phase high horse business phase.
That's the phase that I was talking about before, where I'm like, I know I was working a lot, but if I just switch my mindset a little bit, I probably could have pushed and made those things. You don't want to burn the candle at both ends, but in the same breath, it's like you kind of have to like think like, oh, if I'm going to get 3 hours sleep, I'm going to fucking get 3 hours sleep. I'm going to see my friends though. You know what I mean?
The other side of that, like I didn't waste a weekend in my 20s. I never missed one. Look at me, I'm living.
Nah,
what a life.
There's pros and cons. Like, I mean, there's different ways to skin a cat. Hey, like someone's journey could be written X way and some could be Y way, and there's no right or wrong. It's more just like different styles of doing things.
Yeah.
Hindsight's a beautiful thing.
This is kind of a shallow question. Do you get bored talking to other people though when it's not business related? Because normie used to always say this to me, and like I wouldn't be really listening. He goes, oh, it's not about business, so it mustn't be cool. And it was a subtle dig, but it was kind of like half true. But
I know what you mean. I actually
it's more so I think I love talking to people with ideas.
Yeah.
I don't like gossip.
It's really hard. I think it's hard to get excited by other people is probably like a better way to look at it, because I think like what you consider exciting is now on this like new trajectory that like that people are mostly like not used to.
Mm.
So I think it's really hard to kind of like take a step back and then be interested in the norm when it's not your norm. You know what I mean? Like it's funny, and I think that's why you start attracting different sorts of people. Like, I mean, for example, like when you come up to the office or when I come down here, we'll start chatting, and I think sometimes we walk away and we're both like, well, we just like literally solved like our world's worst problems like just then and there through like a 10-minute chat. But you don't always get that out of 10-minute chats, which is why different people vibe on different levels.
And in saying that, we don't like always like the reason I love hanging around the boys is because it's like just such shit talk and banter. Yeah. It's refreshing. It's just like, oh, I don't have to think.
Yeah.
I just sit there and laugh and I have to make a decision.
Yeah, and I think that's why it's really important to like keep the people close to you that have been with you from like the get-go, because that's always going to be your core at the end of the day. And then other people come along the way that have a little bit of like the fun you and a little bit of the business you, and then you just kind of like have a lot of like diverse people hanging around. I think that's what keeps you excited.
Yeah, I read a quote the other day, like find diverse people so you don't have to hang around as much people.
Yeah, it's very true.
Yeah, that's good.
Very true.
And I think as you get older, you only want to hang around a couple of people, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. When you're young, you just want to be friends with everyone.
You can hang around with me and get like five different personalities. No, I'm
kidding. After a few different wines. So you don't follow the typical linear path in life in terms of married, kids. Is that quite like, – obviously the two richest people in the world have got divorces lately, like Bill Gates and stuff. Like, you know
Did
what I mean?
Did you see that? Mm. My little heartbreak. I thought they were a great couple.
Yeah, I don't know. You never know
what's happening behind closed doors. Hey,
just
and it just goes
giving
to
everyone COVID together.
And all the money in the world and like – couldn't make it work. So it just goes to show there's something deeper than surface level
and you,
kind of materialistic
stuff.
You
do get judged, eh? Like I go back home to my hometown now and obviously doing like really good things and like a lot of people like look up to what I'm doing, but then they're also like, oh, like where's your kids? Like, oh, how come you're not married? So you kind of get those kind of judgments.
I've got the mother of doom.
Oh, she.
Bloody hell, she's on me like hot.
She's trying to whore you out.
Major. You know, she even said, what did she say to me on the weekend? I mean, Jay, there's always freezing your eggs. I'm 29.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, we don't, and she does this little thing now where, like, obviously I'm at the age where, like, everyone's starting to, you know, get married off, have kids,
house. Wait, so are you the one at the wedding and the mum's going, like,
literally. That guy, yeah.
Yeah.
Or like, did you hear so-and-so broke up with so-and-so? I think he'd be great for you, Jade. No, like, I'm not being opportunistic.
Stepmom vibes.
With the first single person out there. But, like, even sort of like on the weekend and stuff, she'd be like, you know, did you see so-and-so got married? Yes, mum, I saw that. See so-and-so's pregnant? Yes, I did. I saw that. Yeah, good on him. Like, you know, you do have to step out of the...
Does it make you feel some type of way when you hear those types of things?
I used to get a major complex about it. Everyone jokes about my 27th birthday, like upstairs in the office and stuff, because on my 27th birthday, I full had like a meltdown. I was like, oh my God.
Midlife crisis.
Yeah, quarter. Fuck. I have missed the boat. That's what I was thinking. But no, you kind of shake that off and you kind of grow out of it. And I just think whenever it's... meant to happen, it's meant to happen. I'm going to psychic today, so I'll let you know what she says this afternoon.
I couldn't go to a psychic, eh? That shit will flip me out.
I am a bit spiritual, so, and I actually think it's really helped me stay on track with this whole business thing, because I'm a huge believer in like manifesting and a greater purpose and all that kind of stuff. And I think having a belief in something, no matter what that is like a really good kind of like motivator to keep you on track.
I was in, I think I was in Marrickville one time with two of my footy friends, and this lady come up to me and she said my name, but she didn't know who I was. And she's like, oh, I've got this thing that you're going to be like a massive success one day. And I go, can I put a prayer on you? And she knew my name a bit about me, but just didn't. Like, she's like, did your name start with like I or like it was something
that's
fucking
bizarre.
Trippy? And I'm like, two of my mates were there who are not into any of this sort of stuff. Yeah. And she's like, can I do a bit of a prayer? And I was like, yeah, fucking hell, hit me up. Get me in there. I was
grass.
That's
bizarre. Yeah. Yeah, I'm a huge believer in all that. It's a thing.
Big topic, mental health.
Yeah.
This shit's fucking stressful, eh?
It is so stressful. I was about to say, like, if you're going to start a business or if you are like a budding entrepreneur or something like that, put your fucking seatbelt on and just get ready, because it is a mental roller coaster.
What's the most stressful time you've been through running a business?
My most stressful is when I've been on paper the most successful, I would say.
Yeah.
And that was a hard pill to swallow, because I remember one of the hardest conversations I ever had with Amal was we were living in our old place, and it just it kind of like probably what you've experienced. I feel like when you hit the nail on the head on a business front, like you hit it, and I just felt like whatever we wanted to do and how we were going to do it was possible. And like you would say that we were successful, I guess, like, yeah, if for what we set out to do. Anyway, so I sat it down and I was just like, I was just really just uncomfortable, if I could explain it in any way. I was just a bit sad. I was really lonely. I wasn't alone at that point. I was actually lonely. Like, I needed love. I wasn't getting it. I have much contact with like my friends and family at that time were working crazy hours. And I just said to her, I'm like, I just feel like we're there and I just can't feel anything. Like I don't feel, she didn't feel the same, but bless her. And that's always been the beauty of our partnership is when I'm down, she picks me up, and when she's down, I pick her up, et cetera, et cetera. But I just remember that period of time. It was like, we were working so freaking hard and it was all happening as we wanted it to, but there was something in the emotion that just wasn't quite striking the chord for me. Like it just wasn't happening.
Yeah. Similar to me, like, oh no, actually I'm a little bit different because I'm not always been wired by business and success, even though it's one of my favorite things to do and talk about. Like that sort of little happiness thing's always been my sort of motivator
for
me.
You have a good system like in your routine and everything like that, which I think like you've worked really hard on, but I definitely wasn't as cluey on that back when I needed to be. I wish I had more of that.
It'd be interesting sort of how we react if we lost it all. Is that an interesting question to ask?
Yeah, I would do it all again.
I wouldn't roll into 9 to 5. I think we've developed enough skills there. One, we could rebuild it over time and a lot quicker, depending on what
probably
it is.
Probably come knocking on the YKC yard.
No, we're out of business too.
Oh, we're doing it together.
Yeah, but I think someone would hire you at the start pretty straight, like pretty easy, isn't it?
Yeah.
So mental health, like I remember Gary Vee used to always talk about it. He was one of the first people that always talked about, like, there's plenty of people committing suicide that are running businesses as well. So I've never been a victim of mental health or gone through that. So it's kind of hard for me to touch on, but I did want to raise it.
Yeah, I mean, like, from for me.
Do you know anyone with mental health issues that is currently running a business? Or?
Me? Like, I suffer from really severe anxiety and I'm like,
What does anxiety feel like?
It's like a my hands when I'm talking about it. That's literally, it's almost like a panic attack. And it's really like your mind and your body work faster than like your logic and your sense, you know, like, you know, that like you can be as calm as your like conscience tells you to be, but something just takes over and it's like a rat race and there's like kind of no like winning it over. You just got to let it.
How do you get out of it?
I feel like I had it a lot worse in my younger years, and I think like maturity and a bit of awareness and like, you know, just like sort of working on yourself a little bit kind of helps all that. But definitely running a business kind of like adds fuel to the fire. Like it's something that you just and also just like not experiencing things alone. Like Amal and I have become really open and honest with like how we're feeling if we're like having off weeks. We call them like off weeks, and like, you know, it's just where you might just feel a bit like, you know, strung or like, you know, stressed or whatnot. And I think just having support people to talk to and whatnot, I'm not going to try and be like a mental health expert or anything like that, but I just know from my own experience, like talking to someone, like, I know it sounds like super heavy, but seeing a psychologist can sometimes be like, it's, as they say, therapeutic, like quite literally.
Whenever I talk to people that go to therapy, they always say, I feel like everyone should do this.
Honestly, it's
like, just got a weird stigma around it.
Yeah, there's a little bit of like, I mean, I openly and comfortably talk about all this kind of stuff because I think the days are gone where like you're the crazy person when you talk about it. I think, you know, if anything, it brings more awareness to something that definitely needs more light. But no matter who you are, what you're doing, how stressful your life is, I think it's really beneficial to talk to someone just to peel back the onion. You know, they can go back as far as childhood years to helping you manage and deal with things that are your today problems. And I think that's one thing as an entrepreneur that you need to have a lot of empathy and compassion for, is just understanding that although what you experience on a day-to-day is huge, like someone else, what they're going through is that level of huge to them. And you can never kind of like, just because you're paying, you know, like $1 million in a tax bill, or you've got an overhead of this, or you've got, you know, you can't be like, oh, you don't know what stress is. Because I mean,
that's what I do sometimes.
It's easy to do. But I think when you like, you deal with like a high level of stress and you also have experienced mental health, you kind of have a bit of like empathy for, you know, everyone can go through their things in their own right.
Pity, lack of emotion, me. Self-discipline, important.
100%.
More important at business or outside of business?
Both. It is so like double-edged sword.
Do you know what I find? Whenever my life's sorted outside of business, your business just kind of goes with it.
Yeah.
Like you'd be going for a run, start making more money. Just like, I don't know, you just start to compound these really good habits and good things start to happen. So what does self-discipline look like to you? Let's start morning and then rolling into work.
Yeah, I think.
What does your morning look like?
I think you, well, on the routine, I think there's something to do with like the routine front of it all. And then I think there's also something like mentally that you have to exercise with discipline too. So like in terms of practices, like I'm a huge believer in habit stacking. So like I have a really similar like day-to-day type thing. Always start my morning like you with exercise. I'll take myself to a cafe, have a coffee on my own. Usually like don't do the whole social media thing then. And
do you try and say hello to the barista or talk to anyone or just zone in? Yeah, I like that too.
I always like see the same familiar faces like on whatever path I'm on, like whether that be the same people at the gym or my trainers or, you know, the barista at the coffee shop and stuff like that. I find energetically like I really vibe and bounce off other energies.
Yeah.
It's a good start to my day. Kind of like I think of talking to other people and like just that exchange of smile and energy is like getting in a car and turning on the ignition. That's how I do it, you know?
That's so true. Because Mark Boris, he said it one time. He goes, first thing I do after I wake up, similar routine to us. Mm. But he goes, I talk to the barista straight away because it gives me a personal contact. So if I think about it, like I'm up at 3:30. I won't talk to someone until Jackson rolls through at 7. So that's four hours when you're kind of just on your own. You can get in your own little
way. Weird, hey?
Yeah, you can get in your own little way. But yeah. But there's like two people I see at that time in the morning going for a run and they're both like over 60.
Yeah.
And like it's like pitch black. I'm running with like an iPhone, but I always say hello.
Actually, I met this guy for a mentor for coffee yesterday and he was telling me about this woman that runs in Bondi and she's an older bird and she runs like 20Ks from North Bondi every morning and then she opens the coffee shop on the corner. It's crazy.
Which corner in Bondi? Depot?
No, I think it used to be there. Is it called Cafe Bondi?
Oh, yeah. That's my local.
Yeah, yeah.
And so she runs 20 and then goes
20 and then goes to work. And she's at work at like 5:30.
Yeah.
So I'm like, when does she run that 20Ks?
I've got fucking bats hitting me up at the moment. I'm running past, got bats swinging past.
That's when you know you're...
That's fucking scary. Yeah. That's motivation.
Yeah.
Don't need a coffee.
Yeah, for sure.
It is uncomfortable. We sort of touched on this a little bit.
Yeah.
You have to have uncomfortable conversations, which is a big part of it.
Yeah. You have to sit in like uncomfortable moments of like even limbo. Like, you know, even if you... I know that there's some people out there... And I know Amal's one of them, for example. Like Amal's really regimented in terms of like she likes to plan ahead. She likes to know. There's none of this like if you were to take Amal on like a surprise birthday venture where you're like, you know, I'm not going to tell you what we're doing today. She would be in all
sorts. Yeah, I hate that
like,
too.
She would just be like, oh, this is that. So she needs to have like a touch and a hold on everything. And sometimes when you're an entrepreneur, you can't. You know, there's some things that like, you know, you just don't know. Yeah, they're in the foreseeable future, but you just don't know when.
How do you have uncomfortable conversations? Is it like, do you pre-warn them or is it just kind of like fucking just smack them over the back of the head? Obviously, you can't smack them over the back of the head, but... Just hit
them
direct.
You see me and then you usually give me laughter.
Nah, I give them warnings. So, yeah.
You get better with it given time. Like, you know, I think that...
Do you roll into the conversation with a positive or do you just go, all right, this is it?
Yeah, there's a bit of psychology in it. It's like, you know, firstly, I just want to say, like, thanks for, you know, all that you've done.
Are you talking about firing someone here?
No, I'm talking about, like, just, like, constructive feedback, like, in all that you've done in this project or this campaign or whatever.
Yeah.
But I feel like this could be done differently. In saying that, though, some conversations I have, I just bloody choke. And I walk out of there and I think, God, Jade, you could have done so much better. So it's
Jade choke on words.
Yeah,
like
I know. It's the first day. So, yeah, I think it comes with a bit of experience but also just, like, being thought out. So I always say don't have uncomfortable conversations or do things, you know, in your business that are rash or out of emotion. Like, sit with it, be really logical and rational, plan it out and then go forth with it. And that was something that I also learned from Amal because, like, we used to have chats and I used to end up in tears and she used to be like, well, we still haven't gotten to the point. And I'm like, yeah, because she keeps me grounded and, like, on track, you know. So I think it's really easy in a business, especially all that you've given up, to be emotional, but you sometimes have to shake that off and just be, you know, headstrong and have those conversations that are thought out and planned.
So that kind of rolls in nice into people management, but more so as a whole. It's weird, like even now, like sometimes I like look up and like, oh, fuck, I've got like six staff now. And
I know.
It just happens overnight, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And obviously you've got a lot bigger staff than I. Like how do you deal with that?
Well, I think that's the – when I was considering like highs and lows of entrepreneurship, I would say that that's been probably my biggest challenge is just
people management
because – There's it's sort of twofold, right? There's like the practicality of it all and making sure that on an operational front, everything in your business is sorted. Everyone is in their complementary position. They're all happy as Larry in terms of like their, you know, positions and their career paths and all that kind of stuff, which is like very difficult to manage if you've got a lot of people.
Mm.
But then on the other side of things, it's really easy with others to take things to heart as well. So like you can have someone like do something in your business or conduct themselves in a certain way that seems like a personal attack, but you can't be personally and emotionally involved in that. Like,
yeah.
You know, if someone asks for a pay rise, you can't be like, oh, how fucking dare you? You have to like kind of sit in their position and think this is a business transaction. This is not them versus me.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's a good way to look at it. Yeah, because probably because I'm a little bit small, I'd probably almost take that like personal.
Oh, wait for all that shit.
Yeah, it's coming. It's coming. All right, last thing, never stop learning.
Yeah, I think this is really important because entrepreneurship is like it's kind of like a lease. Like you have to pay your rent every week, right? Mm. It's not something that you just kind of like forfeit and you just, you know, have this business that's floating and you just sit back and you don't work on it or you. You have to really dedicate your time to making yourself better, which is going to then reflect on the business and make that better.
Because the thing is, you learn a lot while actually doing and building a business. And it's not, we talk about this a lot, it's not to actually reflect on it on how much you've actually learned. And it's fucking crazy how much you actually learn within it. But then, like we talked about being lonely, like I'll be going, I was like, oh, no one's really built a business like YKTR. But at the core of it, every business is very much similar.
Very similar,
like start, scale, hire people. Yep. So just, you got to find people to learn off. And obviously I've got you that can just duck off upstairs. But also books and stuff as well is really important.
Yeah, definitely. Self-education is so important. And learning could be as little as like learning in the scope of like academia and actually like investing time in, you know, either courses, which I'm not a huge believer in that.
By the blueprint.
But like books or whatever. But then also just like learning about yourself. Like throughout my business journey, some of the most like valuable lessons I've learned is like what I want, what I don't want, who I want to be, what I want my company to be. And they're just like a values piece. Like that's just a values piece. It's not necessarily me going out and like doing research or anything like that. It's just me like getting to know, I don't know, myself and this new way of life a little bit better. And even materialistically, right? So when we first started the business, like I was hugely into like designer goods and stuff like that. And I still love my nice things and whatnot.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. But like you won't see me go to bloody Pitt Street Mall and like buy 3 or 4 handbags and a couple of pairs of shoes in one night anymore, because it's just like makes me feel icky now.
Yeah.
And
why does it make you feel icky?
Because I just like my values have changed and like what I think is ridiculous has changed. And back in the day, like that was the norm. Like for me, you know what I mean? When I first...
So you go to the say you go to Pitt Street Mall, you buy 3 bags, 3 pairs of shoes. How long does that last? That
gratification? It's like...
An hour?
Quick. It's over in a flash. You get in the car and you drive home and then you unpack the car and then it's done.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? And I mean, there's merit in rewarding yourself, you know, with nice things. I love that. But I think learning what makes you happy and learning what doesn't make you happy is a really important part of like shaping yourself as a business owner, because the fuel that I get from like playing a game of golf with my family on a Sunday versus going on a shopping spree on a Sunday will change who I am as a business owner on a Monday.
Mm.
So I think that's,
It's funny you talked about off-ex. I can tell when I'm off, I get road rage where I'm not a violent person, but someone cut me off and I'm fucking...
I think you just get antsy with everyone.
Yeah,
and
then you find like all the small things start to piss you off.
Yeah, it's really, and I think, you know what, like throughout all of like what we've touched today, I think like at the cornerstone of everything is just like a bit of self-preservation. Like you really need to like make sure you're in order to lead a pack and run a business.
Mm.
Like I think it's super important. And maybe that doesn't happen overnight. Like I would say so many people think that like I've got it all together now and probably...
Oh, me too, yeah.
Yeah, and probably in like all my life now is probably the time that I could say I have it most together. But it takes time, and that goes back to like that planting the seed and eating the fruit. Like, you know, it's all part of the entire experience. Entrepreneurship is a journey, not a destination. Like it is literally like a way of life.
Mm. And I've found that now, because like I'm trying to build like bigger businesses now where I'm like, shit, I can't just be doing what I'm normally doing. Like I used to rock up about 7:30, be out by 1 or 2, like just cram my work into now. But like, nah, I need to be doing something better if I want to lead a team that can build a really cool business. Yeah. So that's important for me.
100%. And do you know, it was funny, like One thing that Amal and I used to, like, we obviously started the business when we were like little kiddies, right? And one thing that we always used to fantasize about, so we used to do, we spent a lot of time together, like thinking and bouncing ideas and thinking crazily before we even started actioning a business. But like, we used to go for drives when we're comp prepping. We used to, because we couldn't eat anywhere.
Life momentum. I call this life momentum. Yeah, it's cool.
So when we were comp prepping, we couldn't go eat anywhere. So we used to like go for drives. And anyway, we used to drive out to like Vaucluse and Point Piper and stuff like that and look at all the big houses. And I know this seems like so petty, but trust me, there was like a deep, there was a deeper meaning in it. And we used to like go driving and like look at all these like big crazy houses and stuff. And we always used to say things like, when we make it, we want a house that blah, blah, blah. Or when we make it, we want to take our dads to the World Cup overseas. And we always used to say this line of like, when we make
it.
Right? But then as you like develop as a business person and as you like grow your business and as you, you know, taste success and all that kind of stuff, you kind of realize like there's not really like an end of the road. It's like, you know, like even now, if I was to maybe sell Evolution tomorrow or start a new business or something like that, my job as Jade business person is like never over. I would feel dead to the world if I shacked up in, you know, Palm Beach in a beach house or something like that and didn't give back even. Mentoring in the aftermath and stuff like that is all on the horizon because like you don't stop. Like,
I seen that in your stories. Want to move into mentoring pretty soon? Yeah. Well, let's break it up. You got a new mentor now. Do you want to touch on that or is that a secret? Or
it's not really a secret. I'm just kind of like, I think that our business is at a point where I'm not afraid to say that maybe Amal and I are not the two best people to fully go next level with it. And that doesn't mean like handing anything over. It's just like it'd be really nice to have an experience like board or something like that. Just people to like sort of just soundboard off and because that next level
is don't say that's our name. That's our name.
Yeah, we're gonna copyright that. But yeah, like I think it's really important to surround yourself with people that are not only like smarter than you but are more experienced than you. And I really like I grow off those sorts of people. So I think like when I click with a mentor, I'm like, oh yeah, you're my jam. Like I like your way of doing things.
Feels good giving back, doesn't it? Even through a podcast, those DMs.
Yeah.
You've kind of found your calling.
I know. I 100% think so. I get DMs all the time like, oh, what would you do in this circumstance? This guy the other week was like voice memoing me like all of his first world problems in his business. And weirdly, like I'm not like, you know, time is money or anything like that. I'm full like heart and soul into it and I will give my best advice back, not because it's like a self-gratification thing. It's just like I feel like I'm starting to see other people's journeys and businesses a lot clearer.
Oh, of course, yeah.
And it's like, well, why would I hide that advice? Like why would I?
Do you ever say someone's got a business idea and it's not great? Do you ever shut it down straight away or do you ask for alternatives or what's the go?
I think it's the way you interrogate, right? Like, so what are your competitors doing? Have you sussed out your competitors? Why do you think there's no one in the market that's doing this? What makes you different to others? How can someone replicate this? How could they not replicate it? And then slowly but surely you realize that someone doesn't really know their idea as well as what they should before starting
it. Yeah, but you kind of don't want to kill that entrepreneurial spirit about them as well, because we were there as well, you know what I mean? Like, fuck, this is gonna kill it.
Definitely. I mean, Amal and I, when we went to America, we wanted to do salad bars. So you know how like you can do self-serve frozen yogurt now? We wanted to do that with salad bars around the country. And
how would you control how much that you can put in? You couldn't.
It's all like to be honest,
all you can eat.
We like barely thought this through. This was like imagine 20 and 21 year old Jade Amal in San Francisco going like, oh my god, we're gonna take over the world we're gonna call it U-Bar, we're gonna make it like the shape of a U. Anyway, and make it like self-serve and then weigh at the end type thing. But cut a long story short, we got like these huge ideas and we got it all through like just being in America and being in that space. And her dad is an entrepreneur and he's a really great business owner. And we used to soundboard ideas off him all the time and he always backed us no matter what idea it was, no matter how crazy it was. And I feel like if we were killed in the early stages of what wasn't even our business to be, we would have lost that confidence to maybe even do anything. Like, so you don't want to shoot someone when they're just trying to, you know, get a foot in the door.
The upside of entrepreneurship, we've talked about plenty of the downs. What about the upsides? Fucking mad, eh?
Like, I feel as though, and like we said it before, if we lost everything tomorrow, we'd just do it all again.
Yeah, agree.
Because, I mean, I feel like I was born to do this And you could probably agree as well. Like I even remember when we were talking about your journey playing footy and whatnot, and you were sort of, you had wandering eyes, like you were reading books when you probably should have been trading.
grateful for that now.
But yeah, if you, I think there's like a plan from the universe for everyone. And if you're meant to go down this road, you will certainly go down it. So that's a gratifying feeling because you know you're where you're meant to be.
My favorite thing about entrepreneurship is from idea to execution. And then off the back of that, people spending their hard earned money that they work, disposable income, and spending that on that idea. That's important to me.
So I had this post, I'll get it up, that one of my clients posted the other day on social media, and it was a photo of her and her kids. That's it there. I'll read it to you. She said, "This is why I do Equilution. These three are my motivation to be a healthier, happy version of myself. Teaching these guys that a relationship with food is healthy and that the right choices are always there for them."
That's nice, eh?
And I'm like, you know what? If there's a why, that's it. You know, like I'm really fortunate that my business is like quite emotional and it's quite life changing in terms of like the impact of the service. So it really, I've always had reinforcement of like the importance of being the force behind Equilution, because I'm like, I know it stands for something, I know it's got to get further out there. So that's always been like super, super rewarding.
Do you reckon you know you're an entrepreneur when you're kind of like us, where we've kind of got our shit together, got good things going for us, but we're still going, shit, wouldn't mind starting that business over there?
Yeah, like you always kind of have wandering eyes, but it kind of like it highlights what you're really good at, but then it also highlights what you're really bad at as well. Like, if you want to self-develop, just become an entrepreneur and then you'll see all the things that you fall short in. Because even now, like I look at Amal and she's good at so many things that I'm not, for example, in terms of like, you know, money and organization and like, you know, just keeping tabs on like tech
and pet management.
Yeah, yes. We have a pet policy now upstairs. Yeah, did you know that?
Yeah, I do. I do know that. Big dramas.
Pet dramas.
Yeah, so last question, when are you going to start up your mentoring? Just going to ask you, put you on the spot.
Yeah. I don't know. Are we going to do it together?
I don't know. We could easily.
I reckon we should. Yeah. No, I mean, I was actually thinking of putting a little tab on my website and maybe just like doing like a little booking system or something like that, because I mean, it's as much as like I love helping other people, it also like I just love doing it myself in terms of giving that advice too. So it's dual satisfaction.
Yeah, I think what you find is giving enough out through free content, through podcasts, you'll find those other ones just come along anyway.
Yeah, definitely. Because I think even like if you listen to, there's a lot of free materials out there, but I really think someone getting in there and getting their hands dirty with your business and your actual like day to day and the ins and outs and everything like that is like so, so beneficial. Sometimes even it's just as much as getting like you and a founder and maybe some team members in a room and really fleshing out the basics, because it's things that you don't really give time to on a day-to-day that can really drive what you do next. It can be little things like a mission statement or value piece or something like that, or brand identity. It's so small but it's so defining. So
spot on. All right, that's a wrap on today. What's our next topic? Do we got any more? We've got a few, eh?
Yeah.
I lost that piece of paper there, our first initial,
with all of our brainstorming ideas.
Won't be hard to think of something.
Maybe people can drop a comment.
Yes. Drop a comment or hit me in the DMs on what you want to touch us in Soundboard. I think we've sort of gone just reactive of, or more so proactive of what we've done in the past or going through. But, yeah, it's always good to get fan interaction as well. So hit us up. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks.